Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. A new report from the good government group Democracy North Carolina finds that the Latinx voter population in North Carolina continues to grow. Projections from the state demographer's office indicate that Latinxes make up 11% of the state population in 2019, and one in six North Carolinians under 18 are Latinx. Further, while two out of three Latinxes in North Carolina are citizens overall, more than 9 out of 10 Latinx North Carolinians under 18 are citizens. As a result, we can expect Latinx communities to play a greater role in the elections to come, especially as young Latinx North Carolinians reach voting age. Recently, I caught up with Democracy North Carolina Executive Director Tomas Lopez to discuss the report and some other developments in the election world. Well, Tomas Lopez, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Great to be here.
Remind our listeners briefly, again, who's Democracy North Carolina? What is it? Talk to us about that group.
Well, Democracy North Carolina, we like to say, with a lowercase d, you know, we're not affiliated with any political party, any political candidate. We're a nonpartisan organization that works statewide. We're interested in increasing access to the political process, participation in the political process, really empowering those communities that have been cut out of the political process. And we want to make sure that we've got real voting rights in this state, that people use them, fair districts, you know, eventually take down the role of big money in politics, too.
In other words, more democracy for
our
state.
That's right.
In keeping with that theme, y'all have recently put out a new report. It's entitled Emerging Electorate, Latinx Voters in North Carolina. It tells the story of how Latinx population is growing rapidly in our state. It's going to have a bigger and bigger impact in elections.
You know, one of the things that is helpful for people to know is that, you know, we've got, obviously, when you go all around the state of North Carolina, you have many different kinds of communities. Rural, urban, suburban, the urban counties are different from one another, the rural communities are different from one another. And when we talk about demographics in North Carolina, it's you know, safe to say that often the political story that's told is often one that's pretty binary, about white populations, about black populations. But we have a really emerging set of communities, plural, that are, you know, what we call Latinx communities. You know, for instance, I'm Puerto Rican. There are pockets of Puerto Ricans around the state. We have communities from Central America, from Mexico, people who came to North Carolina from other parts of the United States. I think it's important for people to understand that when we talk about the Latinx community, we're talking about a set of people who bring very diverse sets of experiences, backgrounds, all on their own. Right. But collectively, they're starting to be, you know, a real influence on the state's culture and, you know, eventually its politics.
And the report points out that according to projections from the state demographer, about 1.1 million Latinxes live in North Carolina in 2018. That's about 11% of our 10 million population. And by 2020, 12 counties are expected to be 20% or more Latinx.
We've got places around the state where you've got Latinx communities that are emerging in different sorts of places. So the county with the largest share of Latinx voters, I believe, is Lee County. In Lee County, Latinx voters formed about 5% of the electorate in the 2018 midterms. Mm-hmm. That raw number, though, is relatively low, right? You're talking about something like 900 or 1,000 voters total. But the county that would have had the third largest or fourth largest vote share was Mecklenburg, where there were 12,000 Latinx voters that voted. And again, as a small percentage of the overall electorate, but one that's grown dramatically. Turnout really spiked among Latinx voters in 2018 compared to the 2014 midterm.
And of course, the numbers, not surprisingly, show that the overwhelming majority of young people in this category are citizens, are going to be voting at some point. And so this is only going to trend upward as we go forward.
We're looking at, in the next few years, a pretty dramatic surge in Latinx voters coming into the electorate, you know, once they turn 18. You know, from a really substantial share of North Carolina's population under 18, and the vast, vast, vast majority of them, over 90%, are United States citizens who are eligible to vote.
Interestingly, the partisan breakdown is about equally divided between Democrats and unaffiliated, a very low percentage of Republicans and or Libertarian. It's a 43% Democrat, 42% unaffiliated. So presumably it's a population that Democrats are probably welcoming into the electoral process and that Republicans are going to have to think about addressing if they want to continue to be successful in elections.
You know, what those figures suggest are that, you know, there are obviously a big chunk of people who are at least registered with the Democratic Party, but that big unaffiliated number, you know, suggests that there are voters that are, you know, I don't know to what extent voters today consider themselves as having a political home. you know, that unaffiliated chunk suggests, hey, show me what you're doing. And that reflects actually a trend that we're seeing, you know, for all kinds of populations, you know, especially in North Carolina, but it's also true outside the state, too.
We're talking with Tomas Lopez, the director of Democracy North Carolina, and his new report, Emerging Electorate, Latinx Voters in North Carolina. One of the things that the report hits on heavily is the issue of barriers to voting. We know there are barriers to voting for all groups, but Latinx voters in particular have some special hurdles they've got to get over in order to be participants in our electoral process.
Yeah, I point to a couple. You know, one is, as folks listening probably know and have heard something about, we're going to have a new voter ID requirement in 2020. You know, the concern, again, that we have there is that not everyone has the kind of ID that is going to be required under the law. You know, there are exceptions. They're going to need to be well explained. And the rules around this can sometimes be challenging to wrap your head around or to stick on something that, you know, on a little card for people to sort of fully get. And so dealing with that is a challenge. A second thing is early voting access. You know, there was a 2018 law passed in North Carolina that put limitations on counties' flexibility in terms of where they can place early voting sites and how frequently, you know, early voting can happen. And so that is a, you know, again, that's a concern. Lastly, a large proportion of the Latinx population are English dominant folks, but you still have folks for whom English is a second language who are, you know, maybe Spanish dominant. And language access is an issue for that population
sure.
as well.
And so presumably there ought to be more efforts made by our election officials to have multi-language ballots?
That would certainly be helpful. I mean, I think one thing that we know is that there are some areas of the state that are going to be approaching sort of a threshold for having to do that. But the more that election officials can do before that point to make sure that those folks are getting the assistance they need is all the better.
What about the 2020 census? That's another issue I think you touch on in the report.
It's a really, really key issue. Folks have, again, probably heard about this census that's coming, all the things that it's going to be determining, how many congressional seats North Carolina has. You know, the state has a chance to gain at least one congressional seat. And then what the proportions of population look like around the state. So the shape of districts, the federal funding formulas, these are things that really matter in the community. And with the issue that has been going on for the last couple of years that, you know, is now looks like it's formally resolved in terms of the placement of a citizenship question on the actual census form, there is a lot of concern in Latinx communities about whether that information would have been used to harm folks, would have been used to report potentially to immigration authorities. You have the phenomenon of mixed status families.
Sure.
So, you know, folks who are non-citizens, married to citizens, have citizen kids, have a mix of citizen and non-citizen kids. We want to have full participation. We also want communities to feel secure. And I think, I know our organization is trying to think sensitively about that. I know lots of folks are as well. And I think the absence of a citizenship question is a really important thing next year.
Yeah. Our time is limited, but before I let you go, I want to ask you about a current issue in North Carolina politics that's very much related to this issue, and that's a piece of legislation, Senate Bill 250, that's been proceeding through the General Assembly. We're still in session in October. Usually they go home in July. This bill would purport to make it possible to take people off of the voting rolls if at one time in their lives they may have been excused from jury duty because of a citizenship question. It poses lots of potential issues. Talk to us about some of the concerns you may have about this legislation.
Oh, it's a troubling bill, and I want to highlight two concerns in particular. First is, as you mentioned, the reliability of using that jury excusal data for the purposes of voter list maintenance. You know, we don't know the timeliness of that, and we've actually seen in the past when this has been attempted in North Carolina, when you've tried to use this information, it hasn't necessarily landed accurately. You know, a few years ago, James O'Keefe produced a video about some folks allegedly in North Carolina who were registered voters and allegedly non-citizens based on this jury recusal data, and they both turned out to be naturalized U.S. citizens.
Right. He had bad information.
Exactly. And so that's the first thing. And the second thing is, at least, you know, at the time of our conversation, there was a provision in this bill that would, as I read it, require the State Board of Elections to publish online the names of individuals who have been removed from the voter rolls for this reason, which is an invitation for harassment and worse. It's a really troubling thing to, you know, try to out people as alleged non-citizens, you know, and again, and you know, to be clear, right, when we say non-citizen, right, that includes, yes, undocumented folks. It includes people here on like a student visa. Right. It includes legal permanent residents, you know, people with a green card. It's a troubling thing to sort of put that out there, especially in the current climate.
Yeah, it's a very worrisome development. We'll hope very much that that legislation gets reconsidered over at the General Assembly. Boy, there's so much more I want to ask you, but we're out of time. We appreciate all the amazing work Democracy North Carolina does. Folks want to check out this report, they should go to your website, which is
democracync.org.
Yeah, check them out. Tomas, we'll do this again real soon. Thanks for being with us.
All right, thank you for having me.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.